Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
So this month is Mission Critical. Now, who heard the word critical and got scared? Anybody? I ran this message series by somebody who remained nameless, and they were like, critical? I don't like the word critical. And I thought, well, that makes sense. No one wants to be critical. Please don't be critical here, right? But if you look up mission critical, it has a very different definition than the word critical, all right? So hang with me. It's actually a hope-filled message. Nothing critical about it. Don't be critical of it, all right? So mission critical. Jesus had more impact in 3 years of active ministry than anyone else on earth in their entire lifetime. Just kind of think about that. He had more impact that keeps on going. It's exponential, right? To the kingdom, the increase of his kingdom, there is no end. He had more impact in 3 years than anybody else in their entire lifetime, forever. I was talking with Pastor Caleb last week, and you know, when we're talking about message series, sometimes we have it all mapped out for a while, but other times Holy Spirit's just kind of talking in the moment. I said, Caleb, what is on your heart right now? What is God speaking to you? And he said, God is really speaking to me about living intentionally and not just going through the motions. And I think sometimes when there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of confusion, especially when there's big decisions being made or not made or whatever is happening in our world right now, it can kind of paralyze us. And we can kind of want to shut down and just go through the motions to survive. And there's something comforting about motions when everything else is chaotic, right? It's like my cup of coffee is still there, so I'm going to just do what I always do and I'm going to get it. And then I'm going to sit down at my dining room table, and then I'm going to, you know, you just have these motions, and sometimes we can find comfort in that. And as long as they're good, it's not bad. But God wants us to do more than go through the motions, right? Our world doesn't just need a church that knows the motions. The world is looking for a church that is alive, right, and knows the mission and is living on mission. And one of our core values at our church is living on mission, living on purpose, or living intentionally. So that's what we're going to be talking about this month. And right off the bat, because that can sound a little bit stressful, because you're thinking, man, now I got to do one more thing on my calendar. I got to live on mission as well as, you know, doing everything else. But if Jesus can do more in 3 years than we can in a lifetime, there's an invitation to rest, to realize you have enough time to do the mission God is calling you to do. You have enough time to do what God is calling you to do right now. And I think most often we live the opposite way. I don't have enough time, but you have enough time because all it took was Jesus was 3 years. How many have had God do something incredible in just a moment, right? Just the blink of an eye. And that is what God does over and over again. We see it in the scripture. So with Thrive Fest today, as we're celebrating our third anniversary as Thrive Church, and if you're confused, this church has been around for 30 years. It just had a different name, which was Reach Out for Christ, which is a phenomenal name too. It was just a mouthful to say out loud. Although now when I call and I say I'm from Thrive, they're like, you're from Strive? I kid you not, every customer service. I'm like, T-H-R-I-V-E. We do not strive in this church. I'm like, I can't believe it. They're dead serious, too. I'm like, oh, can't change the name again. It's already done, so we're holding fast. But Reach Out for Christ, I love the name of Reach Out for Christ, and our missions is still called that. We still are called Reach Out Malawi. So we didn't change that at all. But how many know when you're reaching out for Christ, you start to thrive? Amen. It's the fruit of living and abiding in Christ is thriving. And that word thrive means to grow. It does mean to prosper as well, but it means to grow. And that word grow is what I really hold on to, because when you're part of Thrive, you're growing in Jesus, even if you don't know it, because Jesus is in our midst and he's like watering the plants here to grow. Amen. And I got thinking and I thought, man, a plant knows what is mission critical to grow. You don't see like a little dandelion comparing themselves to an oak tree and getting super depressed because they aren't an oak tree, right? That would be so stupid, right? It's like, oh, that'd be a great kid's book. I dare you. Someone's got it. I know a couple kid's book authors in here that are really good. So anyway, but you wouldn't see a little dandelion trying to be an oak tree. That dandelion knows what it needs to receive and what it needs to give in order to grow and thrive. And so often we can get stuck comparing ourselves, and I'm not calling anyone here a dandelion or an oak tree, okay? Both are beautiful or strong or whatever. Dandelions are dangerous, man. They spread, so everyone's got his strength, okay? But comparison can try to rob us of thriving because we forget what is mission critical. You following? The word mission critical means what is absolutely necessary for the functioning and survival of the mission or the organization. So one of our church advisors put it this way to me years ago, and after I read this, you'll understand why I never forgot it. So in the Los Angeles airport, where Pastor Chrissy flies through a lot, approximately 94,000 people travel through that airport a day. That's our entire county, Tompkins County, in a day, looping through. And he asked me on this call, he said, what's mission critical to the airport? And I thought, well, wouldn't it be like the communications? Because like if the communications go down, everyone gets stuck, right? Well, I was actually in Brussels with Brian 2 years ago, and the communications went down. I tell you what, I thought the world was ending. I was freaked out. I've been in a lot of airports, but never when all the computers go down. Everything was grounded. But you know what? Everyone just had to pause, right? Everyone was fine. It was very scary because it was like, what's going on here? But nobody like died or anything, right? Because it was just the computers were down, the TVs were down, so the flights were grounded. So Chris said, no, it's not the computers, it's the bathrooms. Gosh, I would have never thought that. He said, if there are 98,000 people going through, the worst case scenario is they're grounded. But if the toilets stop working, the whole airport might explode, no pun intended, right? And so it's imperative that we know what is mission critical, all right? And somehow we can live our lives with the toilets not working, and we ignore it and are complaining that our computers are down in our life. And then we wonder why our life stinks and we're all backed up. All right, I don't do potty humor, so that is it. If you've been coming here for the last 5 years, I literally don't do potty humor, so don't tell Pastor Jordy, she's out with the kids. I'll get in trouble. But let me go a different direction, okay? Let me just pivot here. It's like saying, I'm earning a ton, but I'm spending more than I earn. I'm cooking my wife's favorite food every day, but I'm disrespecting her constantly. I'm showing up to serve, but I'm bitter towards anyone I interact with. You catching on now? It appears like I'm living on mission, but I am completely neglecting what is actually mission critical. And the danger with that is, to the outward eye, it's like, man, you're like the most on mission person I know. How do you do it? And on the inside, we've forgotten what's mission critical. Jesus didn't just die so you could live on mission. He died so that you could live with what is mission critical. And then the mission is just the fruit. If you're focused more on the mission than what's mission critical, the mission will turn into striving and laundry lists and checklists and exhaustion. But if we focus on abiding in what's mission critical, that just becomes the fruit. You following? Our key verse is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. This is Mark 12, 30 through 31. It's a lot of what we sang today. We couldn't get away from it in worship. That word love is agape. It means to love, to take pleasure in, to esteem, to prefer. I like this description, a discriminating affection which involves choice and selection. In other words, love that requires a choice. It's not a passive love, it's a chosen love. I wrote a song several years ago called Redefine Victory. You can look it up online if you ever want to hear it. It was written right here. I think it was written around Easter time. It's a cool song. But the chorus says, every day I choose love. Every day I choose grace. Every day I choose forgiveness. And then at the end, it says, every day you choose love. He's never going to choose anything else. But it's an agape love, which requires a choice. How many know someone in your family or your workplace knows if you woke up and you didn't choose love that day? It's a choice. Love is a choice. And when we forget that, we forget what's mission critical. And then the mission becomes a laundry list. You following? Jesus died so we could live mission critical, not live with a critical spirit or in critical care. But that's exactly what happens when we forget what is mission critical, right? There is a foundation of the gospel that is based on the love of God that requires a choice. The forgiveness, the wholeness, the life transformation to the gospel always requires us choosing Jesus. Amen? Choosing Jesus more than the tendency I used to have to do this. Choosing Jesus when it's inconvenient or it's risky. But I'm going to choose Jesus. The English reduces the word love often to romantic love or just platonic love. How many hate that you can say, I love a hamburger, and then you say, I love you on your wedding day, and it's the same word? Isn't English just the worst sometimes? It's ridiculous. We've had so many years of speaking English, someone should have invented a better word so we at least could differentiate between a hamburger and a spouse, right? Let's just start there. But the problem is, then we come here and we sing we love the Lord, and it's again the same word. So our poor minds are like, what is happening? And then I say, you know, love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and you're like, great, you know, I'll just add it to what I love. I love my Netflix, I love this, I love that. And it's hard to differentiate the priorities, right? So in Greek, there are actually four kinds of love that are talked about. And it's a really beautiful study if you want to do it. I didn't go into all of it, but it's beautiful because it actually reveals the richness of what love really is. And it's tragic because when we reduce love to just platonic and romantic, we can start to idolize both, and then we kind of get all messed up. So I encourage you to look at the Greek words for love. But 1 John 4:16 says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is, and whoever abides in God, and God abides in him. That's 1 John 4:16. So we're going to unpack what it really means to love God with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, with our strength and neighbor this month, because that's mission critical. So first is the heart. So can you just say heart?
Heart.
Heart. All right. So again, our key verse, love. Again, I'm going to choose. It should say choose to love the Lord your God, right? Because of that word love. Choose to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, etc. So that word heart means mind, character, inner self, intention, or the center. And one commentator said, desire produced that makes us tick. How many have some desires that kind of just make you tick, right? If you see a child, it's even as a child, one child will have a different desire than another, and it's like one has a desire to do art, the other has a desire to do sports, and it makes them tick different, right? If you are able to cultivate that in a child, it can change their life. It can be really amazing, right? And so it also says that the heart is a decision that establishes who we are. So that heart is the place where we make decisions that establish our identity. It's used over 800 times, but it is never used for the literal physical heart, which I thought was interesting. So you could say it's love the Lord your God with all of your character, with all of your intentions, with every decision, love God. Doesn't that just make it a little bit richer and a little bit clearer? When you woke up this morning, Whether you knew it or not, we all had the same mission. And we all accomplished that mission this morning. You know what that mission was? To get to church. Thank you, Steve. There it is. And that man was on a mission with multiple children. Let's just give it up for the Vincents. They made it to church with multiple kids. There you go. There it is. Yes, that was good that you pointed. There you go. Give honor where honor is due. For some of us, that mission was a little harder than others. Anyone drive through the cloud that was over Ithaca this morning? That was so weird and cool. Yeah, you guys would have come right through it. I was like, the glory has come. Jesus is returning. It was literally a cloud. I've never seen, I drive through all over the time, but like I've never seen that before. So anyway, we all had a mission and we all accomplished the mission. What was mission critical to that mission being accomplished? Think about it for a second. I'm not asking for people to shout out answers, just clarify. But just think about it inside. Inside voice there. To us accomplishing getting to church, I was thinking about this and I thought, okay, well, we needed a car that worked. And then I thought, well, you didn't really need a car that worked because maybe somebody carpooled or maybe someone walked or took a bus or something. There are options. So that's not necessarily mission critical. It could be for where you live. And then I realized if you cannot see, it does not matter if your car works, right? It doesn't matter if you drove a new car, a used car, a barely working car. If you cannot see, you shouldn't be driving the car, right? Mission not accomplished. If you cannot see, it doesn't matter if you have gas. If you cannot see, it doesn't matter if you have like a car heater or it's standard or automatic. It doesn't matter if you cannot see. What is mission critical is vision. And I'm not going to preach on vision because we just talked about vision, I don't know, maybe about 6 weeks ago or so. And so if you want to hear the message on vision, you can go to our website because it was about life vision. It was a good time to encounter God with that. But what I want to talk about is the vision of our heart, the vision of your decisions. How many have ever made a decision without thinking about what direction it's taking you? Right? I was on a call with pastors this week from across the country, and the trainer was talking about how to make good decisions. And one of the things to watch out for was impulsive decisions. And some of us are not impulsive at all. In fact, we might wait a year before making a decision when we shouldn't have. But some of us are very impulsive, right? I don't know where I fall. It depends on the day, right? But he was talking about how we need to stop and we need to think, what direction is the decision taking us? Could be a little decision or it could be a big decision. But how many have ended up in a real pickle because we forgot the vision, we forgot to look towards where that intention, towards where that desire was actually going to lead us, right? Kind of think about that for a second. It is mission critical that we think about and we take a moment and look, what direction is that taking me? One of my most vivid memories when I lived in Israel, and I think I've shared this before, was in a rainstorm in Nazareth and the wipers broke on our van and it's raining and we're trying to get back to the house we're staying in. And I remember I was sitting in the car and there was the girl in the front seat and she was like taking like my sweater and like reaching her arm outside of the window to like wipe it while we're driving. And everyone else was like totally calm. And I was flipping out in the back seat. I was like, this is not how I was raised, right? Because I couldn't see. We couldn't see. And some of us are right there right now. We can't see. We've forgotten that our decisions, the place where we make decisions, where we have our desires, the center of who we are, our character, we've forgotten to see where we're going. And when we forget to see where we're going, we forget to love the Lord with all of our heart. Because one way we do that is to look to Him and to see, is the vision lining up with Jesus? You following? So God is restoring vision today. It says in Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and the surpassing greatness of his power to us who believe. Where is the vision of your heart? Brian and I got some good counsel recently where I'm sure nobody has this. If you're married or have a friendship with someone where one of you tends towards anxiety and the other one tends towards fixing the problem. Nobody else has this problem. Nobody, I'm sure. And so one of us might tend towards anxiety and the other one who's not in the room might tend towards fixing the problem. And then we just find each other just over and over through humanity. You're not the only one. I'll just put it that way. No matter whether it's a coworker, a boss, a spouse, whatever it is. And so the counsel we got was, hey, her anxiousness is actually, and it, you know, she's looping and she's telling you over and over again what the problem is. And then you're trying to solve it. And she doesn't want to hear it. She just wants to tell you again, right? And our friend said, she's actually telling you what she's afraid of happening. And if you can just see the big picture for just a second, and you can tell her, hey, I see you're afraid of this happening, let's pray together, let me comfort you in that fear, then maybe she'll stop looping, right? In other words, what's the vision of my anxiety? And it's usually fear. Right? If you really stop to think, if you have a tendency towards anxiety, it's like, man, it may sound just like I'm talking in circles, but in reality, all I see right now, all the vision of my character and my intentions and my desire and my decisions, it's all a vision of fear, which is perfect love casts out fear. Right? And some of us are stuck on the wrong vision of our decisions, and we actually don't think we're worth a better vision. We don't think we're worth a better outcome. But Jesus died on that cross so that you could have a better outcome than what you think you're worth. Amen? Mission critical. When we have a financial crisis, what do we think is mission critical? Generally, more money or better stewardship or something, right? When we have a health crisis, better health. When we have a midlife crisis, a motorcycle. When we have a national crisis, a different government, right? It's like, that's easy. I can solve the problem. Anybody think that? Like, what is wrong with everybody? The solution is obvious. All of us can see that. But all of that would help the situation, maybe except the motorcycle. I don't know. But what we really need to do is to see what the Father is doing and saying. Amen? If your vision is on a what Jesus can do for you instead of who Jesus is, your priorities will stray from mission critical. If your vision is on a what Jesus can do for you instead of who Jesus is, if you notice, we really try to worship God and worship with songs that aren't just focused on what Jesus does, but on who Jesus is. Because there are seasons in your life where you cannot see what he's doing. And if you have based your foundation on what he does, you might lose it and you won't stand the storm because you need to build it on who he is. So that when you can't see, you can trust his intention. You can trust his decision. You can trust his heart. And then you can love the Lord your God with all of your decisions, even when it doesn't make sense. You following? It's so risky when we just think about what Jesus can do for me or do for you instead of, man, I just want to thank Jesus for who he is. If he never did another thing, it would be enough. If he never did another thing, he has already saved us for eternity. He doesn't owe us anything, but he's very generous and he answers prayers. He moves behind the scenes. He moves in front of the scenes. He heals, he delivers, he sets free. Amen? But it's not a right. It's an inheritance. It's a gift freely given. Amen? That's mission critical. There are a million good things we could do or learn about, and the destructive danger of comparison is that it takes our eyes off of what the Father is doing, and it puts it on what others are doing or not doing around us. And then just like the dandelion and the oak tree, we start comparing, and then we stop thriving, we stop growing, because what a dandelion needs and what an oak tree needs are very different. But God knows the needs that you have, and he knows how to meet them. His eye is on the sparrow. Amen? John 5:19 says that Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." It's so interesting because God's idea of mission critical isn't what I would have necessarily called mission critical when Jesus was on earth. Don't leave the church yet. Working a 9-to-5 job and having practical skills was mission critical to Jesus for his life. Think about that. Working a job, a carpentry job, or a masonry job, there's interesting debate on what he was actually doing with his hands, but a creative job was actually mission critical to his life, right? And then, of course, he had the most effective 3 years of existence on the planet to this day. But working was mission critical. And I think some of us think, well, this is mission critical, but I just got to go to work to clock in. Instead of seeing that God is saying, hey, if he's called you to it, and even if you're like, man, this isn't my gifting, this isn't whatever, well, you don't know what's coming up. You don't know what he's preparing you for, you know, and it's mission critical. So I just want to speak hope to anyone who feels stuck. Choosing unlikely, unqualified by man's standards people as his parents and disciples was mission critical to Jesus. His mission critical looks a lot different than ours. 5 loaves and 2 fish were mission critical to feeding thousands. I would have called something very different mission critical, right? A wooden cross was mission critical to saving humanity. What's in your life that you're rejecting that's actually mission critical to what God's called you? Cooking breakfast for his disciples after the resurrection was mission critical. Stopping to hang out with friends, mission critical. Thrive groups continue. We're having a great time. If you haven't been to one yet, I encourage you to prioritize it this week. You know, in the Old Testament, if we zoom out, one boy's bravery with 5 stones was mission critical. One man in a small army was mission critical to defeating the enemy with Gideon. It's just clear over and over again that what God calls mission critical is different than what we call mission critical, just like the Los Angeles airport, right? And in all of Jesus' life, we see the Great Commission lived out, but there's also this mission critical foundation that's underneath it. So I'm almost done here. I don't hear the sheep outside yet for the petting zoo, so we're safe for just another moment. Can you guess, and this is a rhetorical question, don't shout it out, but think about it. Can you guess which company has this as their mission statement? To help make every brand more inspiring and the world more intelligent. What is that, Macintosh, Dell, Cornell? What do we think? Avery Labels. The little stick-on labels that aren't actually very stickable, right? That's their mission statement, to help make every brand more inspiring and the world more intelligent. What? All right, Matthew 28:19-20. I'm going to tie this together before we wrap it up. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Some of us feel like Jesus' mission statement for humanity can feel like Avery's Label mission statement. Something extraordinary for something so ordinary. The supernatural for the natural. Right? Ever feel like Jesus just got the wrong mission statement for your life? You're like, God, that's like an Avery Label. It's not, it doesn't connect, right? I want to speak encouragement to you that no matter what you have gone through or are going through for this moment, God has a mission critical heart of love. He has a mission critical purpose for you, and it's to love the Lord your God with every decision. We overcomplicate this. Am I supposed to go here? Am I supposed to go there? Am I supposed to marry this person or not this, or whatever it is? Giant life questions. And we forgot that the toilets aren't working. We forgot to love God with our intentions, our desires. the noise of all these huge decisions or all these catastrophic crises can be so loud that we forget the foundation and we get focused on what can Jesus do for me instead of who is Jesus, because Jesus is an anchor when we think about who he is and meditate on that. And no matter what he does for me from here on out, who he is enough. That's mission critical. Amen. Why don't you stand on your feet here as we just wrap up? You are not God's plan B for fulfilling his mission on earth right now. The mission is still as true today as it was thousands of years ago. Go and make disciples every nation to know Jesus, starting with your home, right, and going out. Baptizing believers. We're going to have a baptism Sunday in a few weeks. Continuing to learn about God's truth that sets us free. To never forget God is with us, and to have relationship over dead religion. Amen? So I just want to take a pause and think, how can you love God in your decisions and your desires right now? For some of us, that might look like laying down some desires and saying, God, I've actually been worshiping the desire more than I've been worshiping you. Doesn't mean that the desire might not come true, but God, I'm going to trust who you are. I'm going to trust your intentions for me are good and that you can redeem anything. Even if it's not how I think it's going to look, I trust that you are a good God, right? It says in Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you. I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you. God, I thank you that you are giving new hearts this morning. For anyone here who hasn't invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I just want to invite us to just close our eyes and I'm just going to lead us in a prayer to surrender our life to God. But I also want to invite you that if you feel like you have strayed from what is mission critical. Maybe you've been more focused on the mission than what's mission critical. And again, we're going to unpack that this whole month. It's going to be a fantastic journey of just leaning into God more and more. But if you feel like, you know what, I need to repent for worshiping the desire more than the King of Kings, for blinding my heart, God, I need you to open the eyes of my heart to see where my decisions are taking me, where my desires are taking me. God wants to give you a new heart right now. So right now, God, I just bless our church to receive a new heart, a new ability to make decisions and intentions for our relationships and our marriages, our habits, our parenting, how we're using our resources. And if you want to surrender your life to God right now, I just invite you to just raise your hand. And Jesus, I just thank you right now for being my Lord and Savior. Come and make your home in my heart this morning. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.